Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
For a few weeks, we have been going through we are in the process of going through 1 Corinthians chapter 8 through 10, but for a few weeks, we are pausing our study of 1 Corinthians to set our hearts and our eyes on something that helps us to more fully understand the why we do loving others in the way that we do by foregoing some of the rights and freedoms that are ours to take. And to withhold them so that we can be where our brothers and sisters are at in their walk with Jesus. This is kind of what we're looking at. The why is because that is exactly what Jesus did for us. He loved us in this way. And so Philippians 2, we're seeing how Jesus loved us by withholding what is rightfully His. To come to us, to be where we are. Philippians 2, 5 through 8 tells us this very thing. Philippians 2, verses 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Up until that point, he was saying, guys, listen, let go of trying to be above your brothers and sisters. Humble yourselves. Bring yourselves down. Think of your brothers and sisters. Don't put yourself ahead of everybody. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was the mind that was in Christ Jesus? Verse 6. Jesus, who being in the form of God, and this form is an amazing word, the essence. Form is two different ways. We looked at it last week. Morphe, the essence of God. Schema, the visible display of that essence. Who being in the essence, the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It was rightfully His. And yet, verse 7 says, Jesus made Himself of no reputation. He let it all go. And He took upon Himself, took upon Him the form, the essence, again, morphe, the essence of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Jesus, whose very essence is God, chose to let go of the things that displayed His essence of who He was as God. The things that displayed that essence. What are we talking about? Things like His glory. The one whom angels worshiped and made obeisance to. The one who was King of kings and Lord of lords. Became the one who was despised and rejected by men. He let go of His glory. To come to us. He let go of His authority as Lord, the ruler of all things. To become what? To become a servant. The one who commands. The one who tells people and things and all creation what to do. Who sets the planets in motion becomes the one who obeys. Who humbles Himself as a servant. He lets go of His power. He limits it to only miracles that will help others. Only miracles and only things that will strengthen the faith of His disciples. He lets go of His possessions as creator of all things. The one who created all things and to one to whom all things belong becomes the one to own, who owns nothing. Who literally has to borrow the very things that He creates from those that He creates. The one who has all owns nothing. He emptied Himself of all of these different ways that display His essence as God. And He came to where we are. When He came to us, He took on Himself another essence. The essence of a servant displayed in His humanity. He became like us. Truly God. Became truly, took on truly human, took on true humanity. He took on himself flesh and blood. He endured hunger and thirst. God never needed to experience hunger and thirst, and yet he takes that on himself. He experiences being tired, being weak. The one who is omnipotent becomes tired and weak. He feels the anguish of suffering and pain. Why? Why would Jesus do that? Why would he do that? Why would he be willing to humble himself all the way down to where we are? Because of his love. Another display of the essence of who he is as God. He loves the very ones he created. And it was his love for us that compelled him to let go of all that he had, to all that was rightfully his, so that he could be like us. To walk where we walk. To be where we are. But today, we're going to learn that he didn't just stop at being where we are. Jesus went even lower. Not only did he take on the essence of humanity, Jesus chose to humble himself even lower to take on himself something that we could not even take in our own strength. Verse 8 continues this progression of humility. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Stop right there. He humbled himself. He was the one who chose to do this. He was the one who chose to humble himself. How low was Jesus willing to go in humbling himself? Why did Jesus go as far as he did? Well, to help us see the answer, we're going to go to a conversation that Jesus had on his way. Jesus and his disciples were on their way to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover, the celebration of the fast of Passover. They were getting ready to celebrate it together with the disciples. And so Jesus and the disciples were on their way there. And while they were having this on this way, there were a couple of his disciples that were trying to convince Jesus to give them special VIP status in his coming kingdom. You know the brothers, the sons of thunder, James and John. They're like, Jesus, let us sit next to your right hand, next to your left hand. It'll be awesome. You'll be so glad you did. Well, the other disciples, of course, hearing that, were very envious and like, man, what are these guys talking about? They don't know what they're talking about. And there's like this contention among them. So Jesus calls them over together and says, listen, guys, I need to talk to you a little bit. You guys need to understand something very important. What he says is found in Matthew chapter 20, verses 5, Matthew 20, 25. It says this, Jesus calls them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, the Gentiles. The princes exercise dominion over the Gentiles, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. You know, they put themselves over them and they put dominion over them. Verse 26, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Let him be your servant. Be a servant. Verse 27. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Why? Verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered but to minister, and how to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus is saying, guys, don't try to be above each other. Humble yourselves. Do what I'm doing. I did not come here to be served. I came here to serve. I came to be a servant. How did I come to be a servant? To give my life as a ransom for many. He says this on their way to Jerusalem. With his words still fresh in their minds, probably somewhat fresh, a few days later, they are gathered together to enjoy the Passover meal. One of the reasons they came to Jerusalem, at least in the disciples' mind, to come to Jerusalem. A few days in Jerusalem, and now it's that crescendo moment. We get to enjoy the Passover meal with Jesus at Jerusalem, the highlight of their year, I'm sure. As they gather around the table, they realize that they had forgotten something. They had forgotten to hire somebody to do a very simple, a menial, but a very humbling task, washing their feet after having had a long day in Jerusalem. So they're standing around the table, awkwardly wondering what to do. Ultimately, no one was willing to do the task. It was humbling. It was dirty. It was nasty. They all knew what each other's feet smelled like. None of them wanted to have any part of it. And so it was an awkward display of self-centeredness as all the disciples sit around the table with still filthy feet. No one wanted that job. And then Jesus gets up. Ah, this is why Jesus gets paid the big bucks. He's going to take care of this problem. He's going to find somebody to wash our feet. Oh, man, Jesus, he always takes care of these problems. Man, that's great. So they watch Jesus stand up, and they're probably going to call somebody, but no. Jesus takes off his outer garment. He grabs a towel. He grabs a water basin, and he does the unthinkable. He starts washing their feet. Peter was like, Jesus, you aren't touching my feet. I know what my feet are like. Lord, you are not touching my feet. And Jesus was like, no, I'm going to wash your feet. And so the Creator washes the feet of the prideful, arrogant creatures that he created. This is how far Jesus humbled himself. But he wasn't done. Let me take a look. John 13. This is amazing. After he washes his feet, he says, and he had taken his garments and was set down again. He said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Do you know what I've done by washing your feet? You call me master and Lord. And ye say, well, for I am master and Lord. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Verse 15, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Guys, don't make it about your pride. Don't make it about yourselves. Be willing to humble yourself and serve one another. This is what Jesus has commanded us to do and has reminded us to do by doing it himself. But here's the interesting thing. Jesus humbled himself even to the point to be a servant. The Creator washing the filthy feet of his prideful, arrogant creatures. And yet Jesus chooses to go even lower. Go back to Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. We see, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Yes, how low? And became obedient unto death. And became obedient unto death. Jesus would humble himself by even being obedient unto death. Why did he go that low? Why was he willing to humble himself to the point of death? Well, remember what he said to his disciples on their way to Jerusalem? I came to be a servant. Why? To give my life as a ransom for many. He came to redeem us from our very self-centeredness, from the very thing that the disciples and all of us struggle with. He came to redeem us from our self-centeredness and our sin. After that Passover meal, they went up to a hill just outside the city of Jerusalem to a little garden where Jesus often went to pray, knowing what was to come. Jesus prayed, oh Father, if there is any way for me to not have to go through what I'm about ready to go through, if there is any way, please make it so. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He chose to obey his Father and go even lower. Soldiers came. He was betrayed by one of his own. He was abandoned by his other, by the other disciples as they were fleeing for their lives. Alone, he was put on trial that night. They accused him of all kinds of things that were not true. Everybody knew it was a lie, and yet he did not respond to the false accusations. He would not defend himself. If you think about who Jesus really is, if you think about who he really is, all it would have taken was one word. Just one. One word. One word. And an army of angels would have come not only to defend their king, but to annihilate, to destroy the accusers of the great, almighty, the Son of God. How dare you lie against him? One word. That's all it took. And yet he spoke not a word. After the trial, they beat him, they punched him, they pulled out his beard. The pain, the humiliation that he suffered, that would have been bad enough, but then they handed Jesus over to the Romans. The Roman soldiers were famous for their cruelty, starting with the Roman scourging, beating and whipping Jesus, his flesh being torn from his body. Roman scourging was horrible, horrible, horrible. Unimaginable pain and suffering. After the scourging came the mocking. They beat him again. Armies coming to him and spitting in his face, beating him. Ah, so you're a king, huh? Well, let me show you what a king looks like. Going out, taking a vine with long thorns. Let's make him a crown. And so they did. And they shoved that crown of thorns into his head, piercing his skin, causing intense pain all over. Death could not come soon enough for Jesus. But for Jesus, it was not over. Go back to the verse. He humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Even the death of the cross. If the scourging was bad, the cross was even worse. So cruel, by law, Roman citizens were not allowed to be crucified. It was awful. It was reserved for the worst of criminals. Hours and hours of excruciating and exhausting pain that just did not seem to end. It was humiliating. You were stripped naked. You were put on display for all to see. People would either ridicule you, laugh at you, mock you, or they would watch and stare at you in horror at the suffering that you were going through. It was unspeakable. One of the worst ways you could possibly die. And this was what Jesus endured. The Jews hated it. Cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree, they said. It was horrible. But Jesus endured it. Even the death of the cross. Why? Why would he do that? Why would he humble himself to become a servant? That was bad enough. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, humbling himself to be one of the things that he created. But then to be obedient even to death, but even worse, to be the death of the cross. 1 Peter 2 says it this way. Jesus, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Jesus came not just to be where we are. He went to where we should have been. He bore our sins on the tree, on the cross. He came to bear the punishment of our sins in his body, to take our death, so that in turn he could give us life. Go back to that Passover meal that the disciples and Jesus had together the night before the cross. What was the Passover meal? It was a meal that Israel ate from generation to generation to generation to remember. To remember how God had rescued them from the slavery, from the bondage of Egyptians. To remember how death had passed over them as they began a new life, free from their bondage. But that death passed over them because of a lamb that was sacrificed in their place. At that meal, Jesus gave them a new lamb to remember. A new lamb who would be sacrificed on their behalf. John said it well when he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Our sins. Remember that through the sacrifice on the cross, when you come to Jesus in faith, he rescues us and he redeems us. He rescues us from our bondage to sin. He redeems us from the penalty of sin. Look at what Jesus says in the Passover meal. Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians 11:23. We know this. We read it often. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Remember. Remember. 25. "After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me.'" Remember, remember. And so, as those who are followers of Jesus, just as generation after generation after generation of those who had been freed from the bondage of Egypt take time to remember the Passover, the sacrifice that was required in order to be freed from the slavery of Egypt, so also as those who are in Christ and have been set free from the bondage of sin because of the sacrifice of the Lamb, the Son of God, who was willing to humble himself, to let go of the glory of heaven, to not just come to where we are, but to humble himself as a servant, to even death, death on the cross. This is worthy of remembering and honoring and celebrating and glorifying the King of Kings for being willing to be where we should have been. To be where we should have been. This is what we get to do here in a couple of seconds as we celebrate and as we remember what Jesus has done for us. We're going to close in prayer. Live stream, we're going to finish at the end of the prayer. And then as a church family, we will remember by partaking of the Lord's Supper. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you. Oh, thank you for the love that you have for us and being willing to let your precious Son leave the glory of heaven, to have to turn your back on Jesus. Oh, the anguish of that. Jesus having left all to come to us, to be rejected, to be despised by your own creation, who knew nothing of who you were. Thank you for being our sacrifice of paying our debt. And as those who are now yours, help us to not just remember now, but consistently remember, I am free I'm free because Jesus rescued me. In Jesus' name.